Welcome to Weekend Forum, a production of KIOS News. The series explores the significant topics and issues of our region with leaders, thinkers, and influencers from around Omaha and throughout Nebraska. This week, we present the Omaha Press Club's Noon Education Forum with Coach Kelly Hunter, assistant coach of the University of Nebraska at Lincoln Women's Volleyball Program. The event was recorded live at the Omaha Press Club on Thursday, February 17, 2022. Today's program has been edited for time, and now on to the presentation.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Omaha Press Club. I'm Bob Cote, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee. At least once a month, the Omaha Press Club sponsors a noontime educational forum at the club on issues we think are of interest to our members and to the public at large. You do not have to be a Press Club member to attend. We'd like to welcome the audience here at the Press Club today, as well as our KIOS broadcast and podcast audience. There are paper and pencils at your tables to write down your questions for our speaker, and they'll be picked up and brought to the podium, and we'll ask as many as time allows following the presentation. When you mention Cornhusker sports, most people immediately think of football or maybe basketball. However, another sport at UNL is getting more and more attention of late, that being women's volleyball. The Husker women have won national championships in 2000, 2006, 2015, and 2017 under the guidance of current head coach John Cook. Our guest speaker today will be the recently appointed assistant coach of the University of Nebraska at Lincoln Women's Volleyball Program, Kelly Hunter. Coach Hunter has a long history with Husker Volleyball as a player from 2013 to 2017 and as a graduate assistant or a coach from 2019 to 2021. According to Coach Cook, quote, Kelly has been an important part of Nebraska volleyball for 8 years. She's one of the best players I've ever been around, and she knows what it takes to be a national champion, which only benefits our student athletes. Hailing from Papillion, Nebraska, Kelly came to the program as a Husker legacy, as her mother, Lori Melcher Hunter, was also a setter at NU from 1977 to 1980. Coach Hunter will talk about her career at UNL, as well as her observations on recent, as well as the upcoming 2022 season. Here now to talk about Nebraska Husker volleyball is UNL assistant volleyball coach, Kelly Hunter.
Hello, everybody. Does this sound good? Does this all sound okay? You're gonna have to bear with me. This is kind of my first big gig as an assistant coach. And I think Bob was saying they asked Coach Cook to come and he was like, I think he wanted to give me some experience. So bear with me. I'm excited for the questions at the end to hear what you guys have to ask and kind of get there. But a little bit about me. I'm from Papillion, Nebraska, as Bob mentioned. Does everyone know where Papillion is? Small. Yep. My old neighbors are here. We're good. So I'm from Papillion. My mom's from Beatrice. My dad's from South Omaha. So Nebraska family through and through. A lot of my aunts and uncles are still here. So it's good to be close to them still. But so I played for Papillion La Vista South, and I played a bunch of sports growing up. And I kind of always knew volleyball would be the direction I would go. Bob mentioned my mom played for Nebraska. She played for Russ Rose, who was at Penn State and just retired. And then she played for Terry Pettit. And she never really pushed me to go to Nebraska and play volleyball, but that was kind of always in the back of my mind. And we had a really big sports family. My brother played baseball at Rockhurst University and in Kansas City, and then my dad also played baseball for Nebraska. And funny enough, they didn't meet at Nebraska, my parents. They met in Beatrice, where my mom is from. My dad was playing in, I think, like a AA, AAA league there, and then they met in Beatrice, even though they were 1 year apart going to school at Nebraska. So that's kind of a little funny story about them. But yeah, so my family has always been around sports. I was that little kid running around, annoying all of my older siblings, my brother and sister, and my parents, and I was just always a gym rat. So I kind of knew that sports were in it for me, but I love the team aspect of volleyball and just the fact that my mom played and my sister played for Missouri as well and went on to be the athlete of the decade in Missouri. So that was a pretty big deal, and they actually beat Nebraska when they came to Nebraska one of the years. And so Coach likes to talk about that one every now and then. So do my parents. They love that story too. But yeah, like I said, I just always knew volleyball was going to be it for me, the team aspect. I'm biased because I love volleyball and I'm a coach now, but I feel like there's just so much action going on. People can fall in love with the sport. It's not slow like football or baseball. And as you can tell, I really like those sports, huh? But I think there's just always a lot of action, and that's what made it really, really exciting for me. So, like I mentioned, I played for Papillion, La Vista South, and Gwen Egbert was my coach. That might ring a bell to you guys. She played for Nebraska around the same time as my mom. They played together for a couple years, so that's kind of our connection there. And my sister played for her, and I know I mentioned that I was the annoying little kid, so Gwen told me the worst part about coaching my sister was me as a kid. So there's some facts behind the annoying part where I'm saying that. But yeah, so Papillion and just Nebraska high school volleyball has become kind of a powerhouse and just kind of a hotbed for volleyball. So I think they just won state this last year too. So kind of seeing all of the high level athletes come out of Papillion has been really cool. And Gina Mancuso probably rings a bell. Her older sister played for Nebraska as well. And a lot of other girls just went to go on and play D1 volleyball. So from a young age, it was always really competitive. And we got to play in some really cool tournaments where we played a team from California and a team from Kentucky. And I actually played Kenzie Maloney, and she wasn't committed at the time. But I played her in this tournament. It was out, I think, at Creighton's facility, so right around here. And so I got to play her before I ever really knew her, and then we became teammates, and we're still really good friends, and she's living in Lincoln right now. So it's cool to see those kind of things kind of come full circle. But so we were pretty good back in high school, and then I also played with Katie and Amber Rolfson, who went on to go to Nebraska. We were in the same grade, so as you can see, there was just a lot of good talent coming out of Papillion and just this area in the Midwest. So it was cool to be part of something competitive like that. And then I think just being in Nebraska and having Nebraska volleyball is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of what every girl wants to do, is grow up and play for Nebraska volleyball when they're a Nebraska kid. So that was kind of always my dream. And my coach playing for Nebraska, my mom playing for Nebraska, was kind of always in sight, but I didn't really decide I want to play college volleyball at a high level until 2006, when the Huskers were in the national championship in Omaha. I was at that match. My mom and I got really last minute tickets for super cheap up in the nosebleeds. I don't know, I just fell in love, and I saw the way they had so much passion, how excited they got. I saw the fans all in, I don't even remember what it was called back then, the Quest Center. Anyone back me up? Yeah? So many names since then, but yeah, so I fell in love with them in the Quest Center in 2006, and it just became my dream to be a Nebraska girl who goes on to play at Nebraska and play at a really high level. And I wanted to go to a school where they really value volleyball. It's not common everywhere. So it was a really, really easy choice for me as I went through the recruiting process and visited a couple other places. But Nebraska kind of just always had a place in my heart, being from here and being able to witness that at such a high level every single year. So when I got to school, there was quite the adjustment period. Being away from family, not too far, about 40, 50 miles down the road, but away from your parents, away from your family, having to make your own decisions. The volleyball level goes up a whole notch, and you're a little bit more nervous than you used to be when everyone's kind of a top dog in your program. It's not like you're the standout. Everyone was a standout at one point, so it's a little bit more nerve-wracking. So there was definitely a big adjustment my freshman year, and Coach Cook likes to joke, and every time he tells a story, the number gets higher and higher, but he likes to joke that he about kicked me off the team 3 times. If you asked him now, he'd probably say 6 times, but I think he's just making all of that up, so. But it was hard my freshman year, and I dealt with an injury the first time I'd ever had to really sit out of practice and games. Dealt with that, and then just, again, adjusting to life. So I learned a lot of lessons my freshman year, and I learned about how you get through those injuries and how you stay positive and how you grow into an adult when you're 18 and your parents are taking care of you. It's a lot different than when you're out at school, you get to make your own decisions. Do I have to go to class? No, I'm supposed to. Do I have to? No, I did, just so you all know. But that was kind of a fun adjustment. And then my next year, I redshirted my sophomore year. So that means you go through the whole season, you don't play, you practice, you go through everything, but there's just no option, you can go into the game. So that was pretty atypical to do that my second year. You see most people do it their first year, but there was a transfer setter who came in front of me, and she was much more experienced. She had a lot of time running an offense, and she was from Tennessee, and she was their starter for a couple years. So she had that experience behind her, and like I said, the adjustment was hard for me, and I just wasn't ready. And Coach Cook called me into his office, and I was like, all right, I'm going to ask him if I can redshirt. And he asked me if I wanted to redshirt. So it was good that it was a mutual decision. And looking back at the time, I was like, oh, this like kind of stinks. I can never play this year. Like, I just have to practice like everyone else, and there's no other option for me to play. But looking back on it, it was the best thing I could have done because it helped me grow up. It made me hungry. I was able to develop my leadership skills in that year because there wasn't as much pressure on me because I never had to go in. So I was like, okay, I'm practicing, I'm having fun. I got to build up my confidence that year. So that was a unique situation that at the time I was kind of like, is this what I want to do? I don't know. And then looking back, it really paid off for me. And then the year after was 2015. And that was my first year starting. So I was a redshirt sophomore in my third year of school. So, like I said, I gained all this confidence. I'm feeling a lot better about myself. I'm just a better player too after 2 years. We go on to win the national championship in Omaha. So it was a great, I guess, first year coming off of that redshirt because I didn't know how it was gonna go. I didn't know if my whole career would kind of pan out after that second year redshirt, a big injury my freshman year, and just going on to be able to represent Nebraska in Omaha and win the national championship. It was probably one of my favorite memories about playing at Nebraska. There's some competition for that favorite memory, and I'll get into that. But yeah, so we won in 2015. We basically returned everyone after that. We had three All-Americans returning, Justine Wangarantes, who just won the gold medal with the Olympics. Go Justine. She was an All-American. Katie and Amber Ralston were All-Americans. So we had a strong team. We were number one most of the season, and that really weighed on us. I get kind of nervous just thinking about it now. I'm like, oh, that was so hard. But we were number one most of the season. We got everyone's best shot. And playing in the Big Ten, you always get everyone's best shot too. And I think it's for sure the toughest conference in all of the Division I NCAA. So it was tough back then, it's tough now, but that really weighed on us, and that year was hard. We had a lot of internal issues and just team chemistry stuff, and obviously the pressure that we felt every single day got to be a lot. So that year was hard. We didn't finish where we thought we should have. We didn't max out as a team, and so we had a lot of regrets. And then the next year, my senior year, 2017, we lost three of those All-Americans. I was still the setter. We had a lot of new moving parts. We had freshman Michaela Fecky starting, or that was in 15, sorry. But we had a lot of new moving parts, so it was kind of nerve-wracking. And then we had new coaches. That was the other part. We had two new coaches in Kayla and Tyler Hildebrand. So it was like, okay, how do we get everyone cohesive? How do we figure this out? We have to go right into Big Tens. We had a tough preseason too with Florida, Oregon on the road. Yeah, so we had a really tough preseason, and I actually missed a lot of that preseason my senior year. I had some shoulder problems that I had to get surgery on, and it was kind of like, well, you can play the preseason and maybe have damage down the road, or you can fix it now and play the rest of the season healthy. So I chose to be healthy for the rest of the season and not risk any long-term damage. But so I was out the first couple weeks of the preseason. And then we had a tournament at UNO, and we lost a match to Northern Iowa. And I was actually at dinner with Coach Cook the other day, and he was like, oh yeah, you remember Baxter Arena? That's where you lost to Northern Iowa. It's like, I remember, Coach. I remember. So, again, a tough start to a long season ahead, but We went on to surprise everyone. We swept Penn State at home for the first time in, I think, over a decade for them. We really, really shocked everyone that year, and we kind of called it a rebuilding year, but we didn't ever feel like it was that. We just loved each other so much, and all the new moving parts, we were forced to get to know each other and bond, and it happened pretty quickly. And for that reason, I think 2017 was one of the most rewarding years of my career over 2015, because there was just a different vibe about that team, and we all loved each other a lot more and enjoyed each other a lot, and that took us a lot further than just pure talent. So 2017, my senior year, was definitely one of my favorite years, and winning the national championship that year was my second favorite memory behind 2015. But one other memory is, this is kind of a funny story I love to tell. It's really close to topping those moments because it's just so funny, but nothing's like a national championship. But in 2017, it was Halloween time, and in Halloween, it's like right before a season gets really hard. November, December, it starts to get really tough. So we're like, okay, should we do something for Halloween? Kind of break it up, do something funny? Should we just not do anything? So at practice, the setters always go early. They go 20, 30 minutes early. So we were out there, and then we were like, okay, we gotta go back into the locker room quick, coach, before we start practice, because usually everyone else just walks out and meets us. So we go back in there, we're in the locker room. We decided to all do costumes. So instead of doing silly stuff, we kind of decided to, everyone would dress up as a member of our staff. So we had the whole staff laid out. I'm Coach Cook, of course. So I go and I get this this wig, it's like black. I'm like, crap, he's got more gray hair than this. So I take all this baby powder, dump it in the wig so that it looks a little bit more accurate. Sorry, Coach Cook, if you're listening to this later. So I do that, I get a bunch of clothes from our equipment girl, and everyone else dresses up as someone from the staff, and we looked like exactly like them. So I'm a senior, I have a great relationship with Coach Cook. We're doing pretty well. I'm still really nervous to walk out there dressed as Coach Cook. And so we walk out, we have like these kind of curtains that keep balls out from getting outside of our gym. So we open up the curtains, we walk out, dressed as all of the staff, and I'm still at this point like, oh crap. I see Coach Cook laugh harder than I have ever seen him laugh. I'm like, oh, okay, we're fine. But it was just a really cool moment to be able to have something funny like that with our coach and with our team in the heat of the season when things are getting really hard. So for that reason, I would say that's maybe my third favorite moment. I think it kind of depends on the day. But so after that, I went on and I played 1 year of professional volleyball. For me, it was kind of like, if I don't do this now, I'll never be able to do it ever again. So I wanted to experience that. I played overseas in Turkey in a small town right outside of Istanbul. So it was definitely a different culture shock. They have much different religion, different culture, everything like that. But I had a great time. The food was awesome. I was worried about the food. I brought probably like 17 boxes of instant mac and cheese. Those didn't last very long. But the food was great, and I had two other Americans on my team, so I wasn't completely alone. And we all lived in the same apartment, so it was good to have friends there. But it was just a different experience, and especially coming from Nebraska, where it's like family and we have this overwhelming support from all of the community, it was definitely different. And I didn't hate it, I didn't love it, I had a great time, but I was like, okay, I don't think I can do this for forever. So I reached out to Coach Cook and I said, would you mind if I came back to be a grad assistant? Because my senior year, since I had that redshirt year, I started a graduate program. So it was an accelerated MBA. It's a little bit different than an MBA. It ended with kind of an internship experience piece. But I needed that one more year left because I left to go play in Turkey. So I reached out to Coach Cook. I said, okay, could I be a GA? He's like, sure, of course, we'd love to have you. And Coach always loves telling the story that he would tell me that I was gonna be a coach, and I'd be like, no, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. So he wrote some notes on my paper here for me, and he goes, Coach Cook said I would be a coach. He was right. So I think he wanted me to make sure I hit that point so everyone knows that he's been right about that. But So I started out as a GA, and that's just a very humbling experience because you're getting paid for your school, but you're mostly just kind of a practice player, and you help set up the nets. You can't coach at all. So it's a coaching position, but there's not really much you can do in terms of actually coaching. So it was definitely different going from a player, where it's like you don't notice all the stuff that happens behind the scenes, to being the person doing it behind the scenes. And I appreciate that experience so much because I just learned how much all the people who worked with our program throughout those years really did, and a lot of it goes unnoticed. So it was really cool to kind of be in that role and see how that role kind of plays out. So I was a GA for a year. I graduated, I got my master's in the arts of business, not a true MBA. But then that was when COVID hit and Tyler Hildebrand was gonna come back to be our coach in August. But he was gonna be with the Olympic team. He was the Olympic beach volleyball coach. So he was gonna be with them. And so we needed a coach from January to August. So Coach Cook reached out to me. He was like, do you wanna be the interim assistant? And I said, yes, pretty quickly. So it was kind of cool to see just going from GA and then getting even more responsibility, being the interim assistant coach. It was kind of a unique experience. And then, like I said, COVID hit. We couldn't do a ton of recruiting. Everything shut down, as we all know. So I was in that role for about 2 or 3 months. And then we were kind of just on our own for a little bit because summer hit, we didn't really have required workouts, stuff like that. So it was kind of a little taste of that experience, but nothing too crazy. And then Tyler came back and I was a volunteer. So volunteer kind of sounds like a step down from grad assistant, right? It's, you can't get paid anything. You can't get any benefits, but you're a coach. So we have 4 accountable coaches, myself, now Jalen, coach, and then the volunteer. So it sounds kind of weird to go from getting paid to being a volunteer, and it's just kind of a funky route, but that's kind of how the volleyball hierarchy works. So I'm the volunteer, and then we have our COVID season in 2021 in the spring. So very atypical, usually it's in the fall. So we're getting into our COVID season. We already have one of our games canceled against Northwestern, our first Big Ten game. And then no one other than Jordan Larson reaches out to me and she goes, hey, I'm playing in this AU league, like we need a setter. Do you wanna come play? And I'm like, oh, crap. Like, I haven't played in a really long time. I'm committed to Nebraska. We're in the middle of our season. What am I gonna do? So I go up to coach and I say, hey, Jordan Larson texted me. He's like, Jordan? I said, yeah, Jordan Larson. Like, they're playing in AU and it's this new league. It's gonna be the first time they're ever doing it in the US. He's like, you gotta go. I'm like, are you sure? Like, I'm committed to this. I don't wanna leave you guys hanging. He's like, Kelly, you gotta go. So I went and it was in Dallas and it was a really cool experience. I don't know if any of you followed along with that league, but really interesting format. But I had a really good time, and I think I didn't put pressure on myself, and I played pretty well. And after volunteering for a couple months and then continuing to be the volunteer in the fall, I got paid a little bit there, so that was kind of nice. So then I came back right in time for the Final Four, but I wasn't the volunteer anymore because I had to go off to get this other like AU job, if you want to put it that way. So I came back, Final Four is in Omaha. Just a really interesting year, and we kind of like brushed that one under the rug. I think everyone kind of does just because it was so strange. But then we get to last season, and last season's team was just, for a lack of better words, magical. It was a great season, and I think our team really maxed out. And when I say our team in 2017 loved each other, these girls are like sisters. So it was really cool to be a part of that and see the way no one thought we would make it as far as we did and make it all the way to the national championship point or match and be 3 points away. So it was really amazing to be a part of that team. And that was when I really embraced the whole volunteer role and got to know everything behind the scenes. And I just saw our standard of how we want to get better every single day. It's a long season, it's 5 months long, and it's easy to get complacent, especially when it comes to tournament time. You're just focused on winning, but Coach Cook was always focused on getting better. So that was kind of the biggest thing I took away from last year's season is just how much we want to improve no matter what point of the season it is, and how much having as much love as they did for each other, it took us really, really far. So after that, we get back to Lincoln. It's Sunday after the match. We got Canes, and if anyone here knows me at all or checks my Twitter or whatever, I love Canes. So I was super hyped about that. I saw Coach Cook eat it, and he's normally very, very healthy, so I like to poke him about that. But we got Canes, and then we had a team meeting, and that was when Tyler announced that he was leaving to go be the head coach at Long Beach, and the girls had no idea. I kind of already knew, but no idea. So it was just a really emotional experience and a really emotional day. And then we found out our nutritionist was leaving as well. And then we had to go over to the basketball game to get recognized, and everyone's like crying. And we're like, hi guys, thanks for having us. But it was really cool to see the place light up for us when we walked in. And I don't know, the whole experience was just super emotional, and it was the perfect ending to a long season. Well, not perfect, but very close to perfect ending to a long season. But that Sunday was crazy. But the Monday after is where my life got a lot crazier. So Coach Cook called me. He said, or he texted me the night before on Sunday night, and he goes, get ready, tomorrow, interview. I'm like, okay, do I need to dress nice? He goes, no. So I'm like, okay, is it really an interview? Like, what's going on? Usually you dress nice for an interview. So he says that. I'm like, okay, we're just going to have an end of the season meeting. Like, we're just going to talk about plans, stuff like that. The next day, he calls me. I'm on my way. I'm in my car already. He goes, hey, have you left yet? I said, yeah, I did. What's up? He goes, dress nice. You're meeting with Trev. I'm like, Trev Alberts. Okay, got it? So first of all, I'm not dressing nice. We're just chatting. Now I need to look nice, business casual, the whole deal. So I was nervous. So he says that. I get to the office, I'm in my nice clothes, all of that, and he's like, okay, you're meeting with this person, you're meeting with this person, and you're meeting with this person, and then you gotta pick out a nice place, we're going to dinner. I'm like, whoa, I really just thought I was gonna sit in his office on his couch and just chat. So I go through all of that, I'm stressing about where to go to dinner, end up picking a really good place, JTK in Lincoln, if any of you guys have ever been, it's super good. But end up picking that place. I'm going through all these interviews. I meet with Trev, and I'm just like, this is a whirlwind of a day. So we're out at dinner. Coach Cook is dressed nice as well, and he doesn't usually dress up. So I'm like, all right, what's going on here? So we have dinner. It's a really good food, great dinner, everything. And then he offers me the job. And I was just like, yep, sounds good. No hesitation, but just, it was just a whirlwind of a day after a whirlwind of a season, and making it to the Final Four and the national championship match and all of that was just really, really crazy. But yeah, that Monday changed my life, definitely. But so now my current role, assistant coach, right now we're in our beach season. It's really exciting. We love doing that because it makes everything a little bit less monotonous with the indoor volleyball, and we get to go to Hawaii over spring break, so I'm not going to complain about that. But we're doing that. Our beach season's going great. We're going recruiting here soon, so I'll go to Kansas City. Me, Coach, and Jalen will all go this weekend. It's a really big tournament called Triple Crown. We'll do that. And then that's pretty much kind of the grind right now. It's our off season with all that stuff going on, and recruiting's a big piece, but I think it'll be fun. And Jalen's a phenomenal recruiter, so he's got it planned out. Like, all right, Kelly, you're going here. Coach, you're going here. Here's our dates, get your flights, we're rolling. So it's really cool to learn from him about recruiting and just kind of get out there and see some old friends and old people who were my GAs who are now coaches too. So it's really fun to kind of catch up with them and get out on the road. But I'm excited about my new position, and it's been a little bit of an adjustment, but it's been a lot of fun. So that's a little bit about my story and kind of where I'm at now. And I think Bob's gonna get some questions from you guys, right? Perfect. Now ask questions about anything. Excited for the questions.
Special thanks to our speaker, assistant women's volleyball coach at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, Kelly Hunter, for her presentation at the Omaha Press Club today. We do have time for some questions. There are pencils and paper at your tables, so don't hesitate to write down questions, and someone will come by and collect them so we can ask them from the podium, so that way they'll get on the tape. To start off, I would like to ask, as in any sport at Nebraska, rivalries are just part of the whole thing. Creighton Blue Jays have been playing the Huskers each year for some time. It was 13, 14 years, I believe. What can you tell us of your recollections playing against Creighton, and what predictions do you have for your match in the upcoming fall season?
Yeah, Creighton is always a great game just because all the fans in Nebraska love volleyball in general, whether it's Creighton, UNO, UNL. I think there's always a great crowd, and we've been able to do it at a really nice big arena and just get a bunch of people there, but they are always so solid and they play really hard, and I don't know, they always give us our best shot, that's for sure, and it's just always a really fun kind of in-state game because all of our rivals are so far away, so it's fun to get everyone from around the state kind of there and cheering and have a nice little rivalry, but like I said, they're always good, so they're always a little scary to play, that's for sure.
We'll put you on the spot with this one.
Uh-oh.
What is Coach Cook like? And talk about his coaching philosophy.
Oh. What is Coach Cook like? He's definitely one of the most passionate and intense coaches I've had. And if anyone knows Gwen, my high school coach, or has heard anything about her, she's definitely very passionate and intense too, in a different way. So you just have to poke a little fun at her always. But yeah, he's very intense. Like I was saying, he's always trying to get better. And I remember, I think it was my first day of work, I walked into his office, I said, good morning. He goes, good morning, Kelly, how are we getting better today? I'm like, whoa, okay, all right. So he's very intense, very motivated, but everyone thinks he's a lot scarier than he is. And I think he kind of has that intimidating face to him. But if you go up to him and you're just like, hey coach, like, you just kind of chat with him, ask him about himself, then he'll really light up and he's not scary like everyone thinks he is. But the things you can talk to him about are his Irish wolfhound. He's got a dog that he's obsessed with. His grandbaby, Madden. He is a changed man after that grandbaby. That is for sure. But ask him about that. And then, I guess, Whole Foods. He loves healthy food. But, yeah, he's intense. It's awesome working for him and being held to that high standard every day. But he's definitely more fun than I think people think he is. So.
A little more detailed question here. Can you share some insights regarding how coaches keep the entire roster of excellent players satisfied with their roles on the team?
That's a good one. I don't know how other teams kind of address it, but early on we talk about roles and we kind of highlight those, and so everyone knows exactly what their role is. I think a lot of that dissatisfaction comes from thinking your role should be one thing and acting one way, and maybe that's not what your role is. So I think what we do a really good job of is highlighting, like, okay, this is my role, this is what I'm gonna be great at, this is how I contribute, and then everyone buys into that philosophy. So I think the biggest thing is just putting it out there, and sometimes it can be awkward to say, like, okay, like, you're our starter, you're gonna have to be a leader this year, and that's that, and you're gonna be our backup this year. It's kind of awkward to do that, but I think we do it in a way that makes everyone feel appreciated and knowing that they're a part of or a piece of our puzzle, and everyone is valued just the same, and we need everyone just the same to be a great team. And I think our team last year really embraced all those roles, and that's what kind of took us as far as we went.
Now, Kelly, you mentioned that you're going to be recruiting. What can you tell us about the actually about the recruiting experience?
Yeah, so a lot of it happens like behind the scenes because you can't talk to a lot of recruits, and everyone's trying to commit super early, and the NCAA is making rules where you can't talk to kids that early, which as they should because they're kids. But so a lot of it kind of happens behind the scenes, talking to club coaches, watching film, stuff like that. So Jalen is our recruiting coordinator. He does a lot of the brunt of that stuff, and he's always on the phone. Our offices are right next to each other, and he is just always on the phone. And he's definitely one of the best, so it's cool to see how hard he works at that. But yeah, a lot of it happens on the back end, and then we kind of decide which tournaments are worth it for us to go to. If there's a kid who's really, really good and we really want her and she might be the only one we're recruiting at that tournament, maybe one of us goes. But then there's other tournaments like this weekend, for example, where basically everyone we're recruiting is there. So then Coach Jalen and I all go. So it kind of just depends on the tournament and who we're looking at. And sometimes we'll go out to clubs for practices. So It kind of just depends on the weekend, what our schedule is like, and how badly we want to get somewhere.
What is the future of professional volleyball in the United States?
Well, I think this AU league is really taking off. It was a hit last year, I thought. It was on TV a bunch. It was really easy to get access to, and I think that's the hardest part is there's not always access to watching these things. Like professional volleyball overseas, you have to watch someone's like live YouTube stream. So it's not great quality, but I think AU really did it right where they made it short enough where players want to do it because the overseas season is like 8 or 9 months. So it's a different lifestyle to live going over there, but they made it short enough. It was 6 weeks. The teams changed every single week. So it was like, you always had kind of something new to look forward to. You never really got comfortable. I think AU did a great job. I don't know what other options people are discussing or other things that have been tried, but I thought the AU league was great.
This, I'm not quite familiar with what this means, but you probably do. What do you think about NIL? Does it make players more resentful towards each other, and is it a problem?
Okay, Bob. NIL is name, image, and likeness. So now all athletes can make money off of their name. So they can do all these deals and stuff like that. So my classic answer for NIL is I'm kind of jealous and I'm kind of not, because they have the opportunity to do some really cool stuff. Our girls have done some really cool stuff. Like Nick Lynn, for example, did a commercial with First National Bank with the credit card, and it was really cool. So those opportunities are really, really impressive, but also it's just one other thing to kind of worry about. And I think we all can agree that money kind of makes people more stressed than a lot of things. So for these 18, 19, 20 year old girls thinking about who am I going to make a deal with? How am I going to make this deal? I think that can be really stressful, but we've approached it in a great way. We work with Open Doors, which is a company who kind of reaches out and gets these deals for them. And then they can just say yes or no if they want to do it. So I think we've done it right to where it's not another stress for us. I think a lot of other schools, like the girls have to reach out on their own to all these random companies and try and figure it out. And it's really scary because it's unknown, but I think we've handled it really well. And we made team rules that we weren't allowed to talk about our deals in Devaney. And every time Coach Koch would be like, oh, you got an NIL deal to go to? All the girls would be like, Coach, we're not talking about it. Like we're not doing that. So I think we handled it really well and we tackled it head on and we talked about it rather than just not even talking about it and letting it become a problem.
This is an interesting one here. With how popular volleyball is here in Nebraska, any plans to have a game in Memorial Stadium?
Maybe we can get a beach volleyball game out there. I think that would be kind of fun. I've always wanted to see like a crossover match, like get those football boys in there trying to play volleyball. Whenever I play with guys or my friends or whatever, they're like, you can hit it that hard? I'm like, yeah, it's scary.
You mentioned Jordan Larson before. In the most recent Summer Olympics in Tokyo, no less than 3 players in the United States women's volleyball team came from the Nebraska program. Those being Jordan Larson, Justine Wong-Arantes, and Kelly Robinson. Incidentally, they helped the U.S. team win their first Olympic gold medal. From what you've seen, who are some good prospects for possible participation in the 2024 Olympics in Paris? The prospects from the Nebraska program.
That's a good question. Let's think. Who's still playing? Lauren just graduated. She's got a great opportunity. Lauren Simmons. She's got a great opportunity to be an elite level middle in the international league. So I think she would have a great shot. Who else? She's the biggest one that stands out to me because she's the one who's kind of talked about her goals and has always said she wanted to go there. So I think she's training out there right now and getting her feet under her, and she's actually going to play in that AU league too. So I'd put my money on her.
Interesting to keep an eye on that. This is a specific question here. What happened to Lexi Sun? It seems like she's less on the court than before. As a coach, how do you manage things like that?
Yeah, she had obviously an interesting journey transferring from Texas and then being the starter and then not starting her senior year. It's pretty atypical, but the one thing that Coach Cook always says that I respect the most about him is the best six or seven players are going to play. And I think we mess with all these lineups all year long, and we had a lot of new talent. We had six new freshmen come in, so there's always kind of that like trial and error period. And so we just ended up saying we were competing every day in practice. We looked at stats every single day in practice. We looked at how people performed in matches. And so we tried a bunch of different things, and everyone had their shot. And I think at the end of the day, like Coach Cook says, the best six or seven people are out there, and that was kind of our strategy.
And we mentioned Memorial Stadium before. Husker volleyball matches have been consistently, they've been selling out for some time. Has there been any talk of expanding the seating capacity of current venues or maybe even building a larger facility?
I know everyone kind of always talks about getting volleyball in PBA, but I think the sellout streak is really, really important to us. Even when we switched from the Coliseum to Devaney, Coach Cook was really, really nervous because we doubled our capacity, and he's like, well, I don't want to lose that streak. And he was very pleasantly surprised with how well the Devaney sold out and how it turned out. And I think there's always talk about maybe moving over to Pinnacle Bank and maybe doing just a match there to kind of see what the turnout would be. But I think we've kind of made Devaney a home, and it's basically only for volleyball now. There's track and swimming in there too, but and also gymnastics and wrestling. But when you look at it, you kind of think of it as volleyball's home. So I don't know if there's any plans for moving or any other matches or anything like that, but nothing is impossible.
Well, we can always keep our fingers crossed. We talked before about rivalries. As evident in the past season, Wisconsin has become a major Husker rival. Your squeaker against them in the NCAA championship match was one of the most exciting contests I've ever seen in a long time. Nebraska lost in the fifth set by 3 points. What would you say are Huskers' prospects against Wisconsin in 2022?
Yeah, for whatever reason, Wisconsin was kind of our rival this year, and I think it kind of changes. And when I played, it was more so Penn State. But I think just we haven't beat them in a really, really long time. So until we can, I think they're kind of going to be our rival, and we'll always put a little bit of extra emphasis on beating them, and that one might mean a little bit more. But they had a lot of super seniors, super duper seniors with their COVID years. So their team's going to look a lot different. Our team's going to look a lot different. So I'm not sure that matchup will feel the exact same as it always had, but I think there's still kind of that intangible there when you play a team that's you haven't beaten in a while. So I think we'll still get fired up for them, but both teams are going to look very different.
What are your recommendations for young girls building their skills to achieve college level play?
I think the biggest thing, whether it's sports or an instrument or school, it's like you got to put in more time than you think you do. And one thing my high school coach made me do was put in extra reps. We had Friday night training every single Friday, and as a 17-year-old, I was not stoked about that. But I think just putting in the extra time and work and making a little bit of a sacrifice there when you're in high school and junior high, like everything feels super important. But when you kind of think about those little things you can do here and there to help set you up for the future, it feels a lot more important when you look at it that way. So I think just going above and beyond in whatever it is, if it's school, studying a little bit extra, or telling your friends you'll meet them after dinner to hang out because you want to study for a little bit. So I think it's just putting in the extra time and taking advantage of extra opportunities.
Kind of changing directions a little bit. During the most threatening days of the pandemic, several matches were played without any fans present. How did this affect the players, and do you think that a team functions better with allowed feedback from fans?
Yeah, so during that kind of COVID season, that was when I left to go play at AU, so I wasn't really there for a lot of matches in Devaney, but I know for our team specifically, we really feed off of the crowd, and our fans are great. They know exactly what's going on. They get super fired up, so I think for us not to have them, we lose our home court advantage, and a lot of other places like Minnesota, Wisconsin, they've got great fan bases. They kind of lost that home court advantage as well. So it makes you have to dig deep into yourself and into your team and figure out if you guys can get fired up on your own. Because for a while, our team,
we were either way too fired up or we were way too casual. So we kind of had to find that equilibrium. And I think that COVID season kind of helped us find that and take control of, I guess, our own destiny and our own energy. And it definitely wasn't fun not having fans in Devaney, but I think we learned a lot about our team and got better from it.
A new member is apparently going to play volleyball and basketball. Do you anticipate that she'll continue with both throughout her career at Nebraska?
Yeah, that's hard to say because Maggie is very, very passionate. And if anyone follows her on Instagram, she's always posting clips about volleyball and basketball. You guys should check it out if you're not. But I don't know. She's really passionate. She's got really good goals. And I think she's really, really fired up about playing both. So it's hard to say, but if I had to guess, she would stick through with both sports all 4 years.
Aside from Coach Cook, who are the most influential people that you have worked with throughout your years playing volleyball in middle school and high school? And do you aspire to be a college head volleyball coach in the U.S. someday?
I would say my biggest influence as a young player in junior high and high school would have been my head coach, Gwen, and my sister. My sister's 10 years older than me, so she had been through it and learned from it and was able to kind of give me the honest opinion that I didn't think I needed or know I needed. So she was always really honest and just a great role model for me. Like I said, her team beat Nebraska when they came, and for me being a huge Nebraska fan, when my sister comes in and beats them, I'm like, whoa. So she was a great role model, and then even just throughout my college years, she was a setter as well, so she was able to really relate. And then now, she went on to coach for her alma mater as well. So we have a very similar path, really similar experiences. So whenever I need help with anything, I always call her. And the second question, do I want to be a head coach? I live in the moment, so I'm really focused on crushing my job right now, but... No, I think coaches at Nebraska go on to have really successful, great careers, and Coach Cook has a great coaching tree, so I'm excited for what the future might hold.
Well, thank you very much, Kelly Hunter, for visiting with us today and for giving us your insights into the program. I'm now more eager than ever for the new season to start in August. So, we'd like to thank you for attending today's forum. This program will be broadcast on Omaha Public Radio KIOS FM 91.5 on Saturday morning, February 26th at 6 a.m., and will be available as a podcast on their website anytime after that. The next forum here will take place on Thursday, March 17th at 12 noon here at the club. At that time, the guest speaker will be Christina Engdahl, Director of Communications for MECA, the Metropolitan Entertainment and Convention Authority. She'll present an overview and update of the Riverfront Revitalization Project. Thanks again for attending, and we are adjourned.
You've been listening to Weekend Forum, a production of KIOS News. Today's program with Coach Kelly Hunter, assistant coach of the University of Nebraska Lincoln Women's Volleyball Program, was presented by the Omaha Press Club on Thursday, February 17th. This episode was produced by Joshua LaBure with assistance from Todd Hatton. You can hear this episode again at our website, kios.org, and you can find more information about the Omaha Press Club's Noon Education Forum at omahapressclub.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next month for the next Weekend Forum.